Before I ask you to stand, let me begin with this. This is a time of day that is so dangerous to be outside the will of God.
Well,
there is so much going on around our lives that we do not need to be outside of the will of God.
Well, my God.
There's so much destruction. There's so much going on down here in this valley that there's the valley of despair. There's so many folk falling by the wayside that it don't make sense to see what's going on. So much evilness going on. Marriages are being divorced in less than a year. Our children are getting worse and worse outside in this world. And a lot of people think it's okay to shack up and not get married. It's okay to deprive our children. There's a lot of jealousy and envious and hating going on in this world. And I believe today that somebody needs to have their faith activated.
Well,
and to give you a little illustration, you know how when you need your money, when you're opening up a new account, they give you this Visa Mac card. And in order to get your money, and everybody wants their money, don't want their money frozen, especially when you have to pay your bills. You have to tap Mac by putting in your PIN number in order to activate this card. You have to push it in, put in your PIN number, and then you can have your money. It's the same way with faith. In order to activate your faith, you have to read this word. You have to study this word and pray and seek the face of God. Am I right about it? So I'm going to ask everyone to please stand in reverence to God's word and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. St. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And while you're getting there, I just want to give honor to God and to our pastors, co-pastor, and to all our ministers, and to our deaconesses, to everyone that's here under the sound of my voice. God bless you. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 reads, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
Well,
but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water." Here's a miracle. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter," oh hallelujah for Peter, "answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water.'" Another miracle. "And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of the truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 6, while you're seated. James chapter 1, verse 6. What I'd like to do is draw from James chapter 6 to embellish Matthew chapter 14 because of a question that Peter asked Jesus. James 1 and 6 says, But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. For a thought this morning, don't step out unless you have faith.
Well,
it's dangerous out there in this world, and you need faith and trusting in God in the time of day that we're living in. That's why God said, do not put our faith in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. For it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. It is God who owns the world, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. So don't step out into this world without God, because it is dangerous out here. And the Bible declares that we're living in perilous times. For men shall be lovers of themselves and covetousness and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, untruthful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And just because we're living in that kind of time of day don't mean that we're going to succumb to it. Because when you're in the body of Christ, when you're living holy and living according to the will of God and walking upright, God said, I will not withhold no good things for you that walk upright. So just because you see folk doing what they're doing in the world don't mean that you should succumb to those things. Because the Bible says to fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious against the workers of iniquity. They're going to soon be cut off. But three things God said I want you to do is commit your way to me, delight thyself in me, and rest in me. And just depend on me, because I'm the one that's going to take care of your life. I'm the one that can deliver you from the sins of this world. I'm the one that can keep you from the dangers of this world. What you need to do is just put your faith in me and not in anything else, and I will direct your path. Trust in me with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me. I will direct your path. This is a faith walk, my brothers and sisters. We ain't got time to be shucking and jiving and doing what we want to do and thinking that we're going to make it in the kingdom like that. No, my brothers and sisters. It's time to walk in holiness. It's time to walk according to the word of God. Too many people are dying in this world, and they're not getting the word because we're not giving it out. We're stuck inside the walls, and not doing what the will of God says, to go out into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I heard the testimonies this morning. All of us are miracles, walking miracles. God has delivered us from something in this world that makes us a miracle. Amen. Listen, before I get ahead of myself, the 3 points I want you to give to you today is, number one, it's by faith. Number two, come to Jesus. And number three, I got you. Number one, it's by faith.
Well,
number two, come to Jesus. And number three, I got you.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to blend all of those in, so pay attention. Amen. Hallelujah. It's remarkable, my brothers and sisters, to see that God is still performing miracles today, just as he did in the Old and the New Testament. The one that I want to speak first on is the miracle with the five fish and the two barley on two loaves of bread. The fact that this young man was probably on his way home with these two fish. He might be going to school. The Bible doesn't really say where he was going, but he was in the vicinity where Jesus wanted to perform a miracle right before the multitude. You read this in the story. That when he took the two breads and the five loaves of bread and two fish, he took and blessed it and he divided unto them. And it was so much less that they were able to take up 12 baskets, and the young man was blessed with more than he had. Another miracle that you will see in that text is that this Jesus told the multitude to sit on grass in a desert place.
Well,
that's a miracle, because when I read about deserts, deserts is sand. I've never seen a desert that had grass for anyone to sit down on. But Jesus took another miracle and spoke to the multitude and told them, sit down on this grass. And they sat in a desert place on grass.
My Lord.
Oh, I wish y'all can get that today. Because the same miracles that he performed in the Old and the New Testament, he's doing the same with us today. Amen. And I believe we are at the most pivotal time in the history of the church. When men and women and boys and girls are falling by the wayside, they're doing so many things ungodly, even coming into the church and thinking that they can do what they want to do. What you're doing is you're disrespecting God, not only us, because we can't see your heart. We can't see what you're doing. But when you come into the house of God, you should not disrespect him. So God is looking for people who he will give him his permission to work a miracle. A people through whom he can perform some phenomenal works to have you experience the supernatural works that cannot be explained by doctors nor explained by the scientists. But only the true believers of God can experience the supernatural works that cannot be explained or caused by anything in this dimension. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith, according to Habakkuk 2:4. And when stuff happens, hallelujah, such as sicknesses and diseases, it hits the flesh first.
Well,
am I right about it? When there's crisis and when there's so many things that would cause us to fall short to the glory of God, it hit our flesh first.
Well, my God.
And when we get new diagnosed with a tumor in the brain, the first thing we should do is call on the name of the Lord. But it hits the flesh first. And we began to call on everybody we know who will pray for us. Instead of calling on the name of the Lord, who is able to keep you from falling, who is able to heal you from all kinds of diseases, who is able to do all things but fail. Am I right about it? Sometimes when situations happen in our lives, whether it is sickness, a financial drought, problems with our children, problems in our marriage, we begin to question God. What did I do to deserve this stuff? What happened in my life that I'm trying to live holy? I'm trying to walk upright every day. I'm doing what the Word of God says. I'm praying. I'm paying my tithes and offering. I'm doing what God said. But why is so many things happening in my life?
My God.
Did I do anything wrong? But what I come to understand, that maybe God is testing your faith to see if you trust Him. And not the stuff. And a lot of us have gone through storms after storms, through many trials and tribulations for a long, long time. And this is no time to give up. This is no time to drown in this life. It's no time to just walk away and allow the enemy to continue to wreak havoc in your life. Wreak havoc on your job. Wreak havoc in your community. Wreak havoc, and he's trying to do it in the church. And the Bible declares, when you go to Matthew 13, that there are wheat and tares in the church. And I often say that the tare, T-A-R-E, is tearing up the church. And the wheat, the W-E-A-K, is getting weaker. We're the ones that's supposed to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put it on the whole armor of God, and taking a stand for Christ. But we're getting weaker. Glory to God. So, God may be testing you to see where your heart is. God may be testing you to see if you're going to allow Him to take care of you or if you're going to fall to the things of the world. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to exercise your faith in God and kick that old devil in his back. And declare, no longer will you wreak havoc in my home. No longer will you wreak havoc with my children. No longer will you wreak havoc in my marriage. Because the God I serve is able to keep me from falling. The God I serve is able to present me faultless before His presence. With exceeding joy. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. Not when things began to happen. It says, now faith. Not when your children leave and they're out there in the street like the prodigal son. Now faith. I said it 3 times because somebody needs to understand that now your faith needs to be activated. The scripture says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Let me break the word substance down. It blew my mind when I read different definitions of substance. And we get the root word of sub, which means submerge. Then you got the word stance means to stand. So when you go down, you get back up and you stand. That's faith. You may go down broke, but you're going to get back up and stand and prosper. You may go down sick, but by faith you're going to stand up and you're going to be healed. This is another form of baptism. Because when you go down old, you're going to get back up new. So when I submerge down, by faith I'm not going to stay down, because it's the enemy's will for all of us to fall down and stay down. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. So when I go down, eventually I'm going to come up. It's just like a seed. In order for the seed to die, it has to go down. But you don't go in the house and sit down and wait for it to come up. You go back to that seed where you planted, and you water the seed so it can come up. I hope somebody got that. Because we all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Not y'all. I too have sinned one time going down. Could have stayed down. Could have went all the way down into hell. But God, I wish somebody would get that. But God, in his rich and mercy, has saved me, pulled me up out of the muck and the miry clay, place my feet on a rock to stand. So you go down, then you get up, and you stand. Stand up for Christ. If you're not going to stand up for anything else, stand up for Christ. Put on your whole armor and allow the God to use you for his glory. Hallelujah. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. And whatever God has promised, then you exercise your faith and just wait for it. Amen. If you haven't got the husband yet, you just wait for him. If you haven't got the wife yet, then you just wait for him. If you haven't got the promotion yet, then you just wait on the Lord. Romans 8, 24 and 25 may help you. It says, we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?
Yeah, that's right.
But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly will wait for it with patience. And the reason why a lot of us ain't got it yet is because we're impatient. We don't have faith in God. We got faith in everything else but God. And God sent me to tell somebody, now it's time to put your faith and trust in me. You see, fear has caused a lot of people's faith to waver. And nothing down here in this valley ought to affright those who are saved.
Well,
hallelujah. And those that have Christ near them know that he is theirs. Nothing in this world should separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Not even life. Even if your husband left you. Even if your wife left you. Even if your children are wavering. Even if there's so many problems. Nothing in this world shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing's present. not things to come. Nothing should cause your faith to waver. Can I get a witness? And I don't care what's going on. You got to get it embedded in your spirit. I'm getting excited, y'all. That I believe God. I have faith in God. I walk in faith. I think faith. I breathe faith. I wake up in faith. I go to sleep in faith. And I mix. Oh, y'all got to get this one. I mix my faith with hope. Because hope won't let my faith die. Hallelujah. I mix my faith with hope. Because hope won't let my faith die. So I trust God. Flawless wisdom and his impeccable integrity that is incorrupt and complete in honesty. Oh, hallelujah. I told y'all, I'm excited. Pastor, you might hold me down. But I got to get this out. I feel my breakthrough today, y'all. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I want my breakthrough. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get it. And I don't know who I came to preach to. But the Lord told me to tell you to fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, ye shall not burn, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I, the Lord, am your God. Check this out. I can't drown. Oh, somebody ain't get that one. The Lord said, I can't drown. So trust me with the storm. Trust me when you walk on the water. Trust me. I can't drown. And another thing God told me to tell you, I can't fail. Is there anything too hard for God? Whatever you need, whatever you desire, God's got it. All you got to do is just call on the name of the Lord. He said, I'll be with you always. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So, everything you need, God said, I got it.
Thank you, Lord.
Whatever you want, God said, I got it. He said, I'll even meet you in the fire.
Well, watch it.
Just like the three Hebrew boys. He said, I met them in the fire. Because their faith pleased me. Because they didn't bow down to the golden image. So I met them in the fire. I had prayer with them in the fire. They had praise and worship with me in the fire. I wonder if while you're going through these trials and tribulations, you may be going through the storms of your life. God said, will you praise me in your storm? God said, will you praise me in this? Ain't nothing too hard for me. I'll meet you in the fire. I'll meet you where you at. Just trust me. I'm God. I'm God. Hallelujah. I'll meet you there. But you got to have faith to go in. You can't go out into this world without it. Because you'll wind up sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Sinking very deep within. Sinking to rise no more. But there's a master of the sea that heard my despairing cry. And up from the water, he lifted me. Now safe am I. It was love that lifted me. Hallelujah. So these three boys didn't bow down. And we should not bow down to anything in this world. They came out. And not one hair on their hair was burned.
Thank
they
God.
Didn't even smell like smoke.
My God.
And if God can do that for them.
Well,
imagine what he can do for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Can I take it a little further? The Bible says that it's by faith that Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him out. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can I go a little further? It's by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place which he did not know about to receive into the inheritance. The Bible says he went but didn't know where he was going. But by faith, he went to a place that was set up for him to bless him and his family. Can I take it a little further? It's by faith that the centurion came to Jesus and said one of his best soldiers is sick almost to death. You don't have to come to my house, but just speak a word. I wonder if there's anybody in here that can have that kind of faith that God can just speak a word. He can speak to your situation. He can speak to your life. He can speak to your heart. He can speak to your mind. He can speak peace to your soul. All you got to do is just allow God to just speak the word. And it shall be done. So Jesus said, he has not seen such great faith. And when Jesus spoke the word, his soldier was healed immediately. Can I take it a little further? It's by faith that Jairus' daughter was sick unto death. But this time, Jesus goes with Jairus and went into his house. And he put everybody out except for the mother and the father. Thank you, Pastor. They were unbelievers. They thought the chick was dead. But he went where the little girl was lying. And he took her by the hand. And by faith, Jesus spoke the word and said, "Talitha kumi," and that knew. He said, "Damsel," I said, "rise." And she got up and started walking. Can I take it a little further? There was a woman with the issue of blood who was sick for a long time. And the Bible says that she spent all her money going to all these doctors. But she heard. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So she saw this great multitude. And the Bible says on her knees, she began to press her way through the crowd. Excuse me. I got to get to Jesus. Excuse me. I got to get my healing. Excuse me. I got to get my deliverance. Excuse me. I got to get to him. Because if I don't get to him now, I might die with these issues. I've been sick for a long time. But she said, excuse me. And she worked her way through the crowd. And the Bible says that she went and she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, oh glory to God, immediately she was healed from her diseases. Hallelujah. Faith is an impeccable power. We have been born to make a difference in this world. We have been born to make a difference in our families. We have been born to make a difference in our communities. A difference on our jobs. And the reason why we are personally have so many problems, such as in our communities, on our jobs, in the church, is because our light is shining. People love darkness rather than light. And because their deeds are evil. But we must continue to walk in the light. We must continue to walk in holiness. We must continue to walk with integrity and keep doing the will of God. And eventually, someone will see our light shine and come out of darkness. Hallelujah. I'm almost there, y'all. Be patient. Hallelujah. We've been blessed with all spiritual things in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 1 and 3. While we're acting like it. There is a visible world that we can see. We need to function in faith to realize that what we need already exists.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
It has already been set aside. All we have to do is exercise our faith.
That's right, that's right.
It is with faith filled words that we lay hold to spiritual things. According to Mark 11:23, it says, truly I tell you, whosoever saith to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place. It will be done for him or her.
My God.
We must respect the words of our mouth. And again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
The word.
So now Elijah heard something in the spiritual realm. He said, I heard the sound of an abundance of rain. Faith begins first in the spiritual realm.
That's right.
So Hebrews 1:3 says, this is how God operates. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In the beginning, when God said, let it be, it was done. So we know he spoke everything into existence. Am I right about it? So now we're going to go to the text, and I'm soon to close. Peter, God bless Peter. Courageous Peter. He was inquisitive about everything with Jesus. He wanted to know everything, wanted to go everywhere with Jesus. So Peter asked Jesus to come on the water. Be careful what you ask God for. You just might get. You ask God for her. You ask God for him. You ask God for children. You ask God for the job. And now that she's changed, now that he has changed, now that the child is out of control, and now that the job has changed, now you want to get a divorce. Now you want to kick the child out. And you're ready to quit your job.
My God.
Somebody look at the neighbor and say, the devil's a liar. Maybe. Hallelujah. Maybe. Thank you. What you need to ask God is to change you. Huh? Maybe what you need to ask God is to make you a blessing to your wife. Make you a blessing to your husband. Make you a blessing for your children and promote you on your job.
Well, by faith.
Is anything too hard for God, say? Now that faith is believing and knowing that you can't change them or the situation, then ask God to change you and make you a blessing. Hallelujah. So Peter asked Jesus to come on the water. And by faith, Peter steps out on the boat and walks on the water to get to Jesus. And Jesus is saying to all of us, come to him. Bring all your burdens and come to me. I'll share it. Bring all your troubles to me. I can bear it. Just come to me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Just come to me, and I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Just come unto me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burdens is light. Just come to me. Set your affections on things above, and you'll be blessed. You see, a problem occurred when Peter got to Jesus.
My God, what happened?
And this happens with a lot of us. When we get a little bit of Jesus, we turn away from him. When we get to Jesus, we go about our business. Just a little bit of Jesus. We think we got it. Just a little bit of Jesus. We think things going to be all right. But the problem occurred when Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. In other words, for us, don't step out the will of God, because you'll wind up sinking and never rising. Holly, am I right about it? So Peter,
come on.
I'm going to close on this one. Peter, I need four volunteers. Give me four young men, kids, don't matter. I need four people. Come on, y'all, don't matter. I said don't matter. I need two more. Come on. Give me another kid. Come on, Dante. Come here.
Amen. Think if you up there, I can come down too.
Yes, sir. All of us actually can. But I need Christian, I need you behind me. Deke, I need you stand. Christian, I need you here. I need you on my left. Deke, I need you on my right. Dante, I need you behind me. I got my grandson in front of me. So Peter, he came to Jesus on the water. And he was sinking, but yet he turned around and remembered the Lord was with him. You have to know that God is with you always through your trials and tribulations. God's with you. So Peter cried out to God, Lord, save me. So Jesus reached down. He grabbed Peter by the hand and said, I got you. He said, oh, you're a little faith, but in my spiritual imagination, he said, I got you. I had you all along. You took your eyes off me. I got your finances. I got your healing. I got your deliverance. I got everything that you need. He said, I got you. Just come to me. I got you. So, in this illustration, I'm going to take you to Psalms 23. The Lord is. It starts out with the Lord, not the people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But here it is. Yea, though I walk. Y'all start walking with me. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all walk with me. Take your time. I will fear no evil. Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare for table before me in the presence of my enemies. Turn around, walk with me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You can decree your angels, because I got goodness and mercy, but I got angels behind me, in front of me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So walk in your integrity. Walk in your anointing. Walk with a peace of mind. Walk with honesty. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So walk in joy of the Lord. Walk and trust God that everything is going to be all right. God bless you.